Blog Talk Radio.
We're waking up, stop, but now you have fallen asleep. Yeah, you were back. know where to get it if you don't have any. My name is Yamsouf Arif. But before we get started in our study, and more study, I want to put something to test on Food's Book. And in reference to putting something to test on Food's Book, I posted, some of you want four more years of Trump. I can't stand four more seconds of his lying behind. And you know that garnered a lot of attention for some of our brothers that who are, I like to concede, as the walking dead among us. They were all, no, Trump better than Biden. No, Biden better than Trump. What Biden did for you? What Trump gonna do for you? Trump did this. But, you know, it reminded me when I was a little fellow and we were talking about Batman and Superman. Who's better? Batman better than that? No, Batman better than Superman. No, fool. No, you crazy. And none of those superheroes looked anything like us. And boy, we didn't get the fisticuffs. I beat you behind. You talking about Batman? I beat you behind. You talk about Superman. And basically, those brothers whom and sisters didn't have any understanding of who they are know that you shouldn't really elect anyone other than your own kind to be leaders of you. And our own kind should be a lying kind, although we had them. And it didn't work for us. It worked on us. So, no, I don't want any lying enemy over me. And I conceded to the parties. I said, I didn't mention the party. I didn't mention the Democrats, the Republicans. I didn't mention either one of those parties. I just mentioned Trump. And it went into a spin cycle. It went to the party we were in. And these great white hopes for them who was going to save their day. Like Superman! Batman. No, I'm not looking for Superman. I'm certainly not looking for Batman. I'm certainly not looking for Trump. And I'm certainly not looking for Mr. Biden to solve any of my problems. No, I'm looking for my own kind to solve my own problem. We have a bond, an understandable bond, or should have that bond, a common bond of the suffrage we've been through in this universal captivity. So we're about to get to why my hope is in my own kind. So no, I'm not looking for Trump with his lying behind, nor Mr. Biden, whom I suspect is lying about something. No, I'm looking for my own, be that as it may. So if you're looking for your own to solve your own problems, why don't you go with me on these travels, these studies together? And we're about to enter into a study of the temple and the Most High's dwelling place that where we can go and find our own kind who's going to help us to solve our problems. And no, that's what I'm looking forward to. But I had to put things to test. I always put things to test on food just to see, just to get a pulse of why people are. And sadly, and truthfully, a whole bunch of us won't be making it because we are looking for other people to solve our problems. And as if they have, as Cottrell says, selective amnesia and Stockholm syndrome, as if to erase 400 years and continue of abuse, mistreatment, and domination from the cradle to the grave. In every aspect of our life, you name it, I'll call it. If you talk about prison, I'll call it. If you talk about health, I can show it to you right now. If you're talking about schooling, a lack of. If you're talking about education, a lack of. If you're talking about family structure, a lack of. But if you're talking about anything that is negative and corrosive and toxic and poisonous, and we become the poster children for that, I can show you. No, I think I must rather wait on my kind. What about you? Okay, you got your maps out, you got your books. Let's do some study, 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 and more study. And what my hope is in, or my own kind, and where that place to be. Turn to chapter 43 with me, and may the Most High bless you, listeners, okay? And thanks, Sister Abia. When I got off yesterday, I had to go back. I had to think about and do some confessing and repenting. Thanks to you. Thanks a lot. I'm just playing, Sister. Thanks a lot, though. It gave me an opportunity to go back in time in my mind's eye and confess to the Most High of my shortcomings, and there are many. Some of y'all got pickup trucks of shortcomings. I got a whole dump truck. Matter of fact, several dump trucks. Okay. And I concur with Cartrell. I'm certainly dust. Truth be told. Turn to chapter 43, listeners. And let's get busy. Study, study, and more study. We'll give you a few seconds. You know, some of y'all kind of slow getting there. Cartrell, catch up. Abia, catch up. Okay. All right, you ready? I shall begin reading the word of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Afterwards, he brought me, who is me? Ezekiel, to the gate that faced toward the east. And behold, the glory of the Elohim, Yah of Israel, came from the way of the east. He came, Abba, came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters. Have you ever heard many waters? Go on YouTube and pull up the sound of many waterfalls. The sound of waterfalls. That's how the Most High sounds, somewhat similar in nature. It's beautiful sounds. It's soothing. Terrifying, but soothing. His voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with his glory. It was like that. Now this is a leader I can vote for. My kind of leader was the appearance of the vision which I saw. Like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were the visions which I saw by the river Shebar. You remember the cherubims with the rings within the rings, the eyes all over them, four wings, and they could move, they could maneuver forward, back without turning and whatnot, and the Most High throne was upon them, and they carried him around. Just like that vision. And he's reminding you. The vision which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face, and the glory of the Elohim came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces toward the east. That's why we always face toward the east when we make our prayers. And always, wherever you're at, try to find your locations. Sometimes I don't face toward the east, but quite often, and more than likely, I will face toward the east. And the glory of the Elohim came into the temple by the gate which faced toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Elohim filled the temple. Not just some of it, the whole temple of his glory. The inner court, the outer court, the sanctuary. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple, while a man stood beside me, which was an angel. And he said to me, Son of man, Ezekiel, this is the place. No, not 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. This is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I rest my feet, where I would dwell, where I would dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name. They nor their kings by harlotry or with the carcasses of their kings on their high places with the idols and their crosses and whatever they got going on those high places. No more, none of that. When they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorposts by my doorposts, will a wall between them and me, with a wall between them and me, they defile my holy name. Well, I tried to do right. They defile my holy name by the abominations which they committed. They set a wall between us. Therefore, I have consumed them in my anger. And he's still consuming us. Now, let them put their harlotry and the carcasses of their lying kings. The reason why I'm saying lying kings, because some of our king did lie. Just like this fellow on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I guess that's why some of them love him so much. Far away from me. And the Most High said, I don't like no these kind of people. I don't like your idols. I don't like your kings. They lies. They are abominable. And they doing everything they want to do except what I told them to do. And they lying too. And I would, but you will put them away from me. Then I will dwell in the midst forever. See, we are people, truth be told, we're not used to democracy or a republic. We're used to a king. That's why we always, once we get hooked on what they're doing, as far as they democracy and they Republicans, we sort of just hold on to it, even to our own demise. I'm not surprised in the least bit. We held on to our king, to our own destruction. Abominable kings. Kings that worship idols. Kings that stole, shed blood, took other folk wives, murdered, lied. A lie ain't nothing, wasn't nothing for them to tell. But the Most High got rid of them. Because we had a good king once upon a time. His name? Oh, King David. We'll see him again. Because we're used to a king telling us what to do. A righteous king. Not a lying king. Not a lying president. Not a lying anybody for that matter. So, we're used to a king. We're not used to all who have a governess under him. Elders of all tribes. Whom he listened to counsel. Righteous men. That's the kind of leadership I'm hoping for. I'm thirsting for. No, I'm not thirsting for the Democrats. I'm not thirsting for the Republicans. I'm thirsting for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his king, which I am under, which you are under. And perhaps I would have an opportunity, if the Most High is willing, to be an elder and to give my counsel. Let me continue in the reading. Son of man, who is son of man? Ezekiel. Describe the temple to the house. The Most High, he's something else, ain't he? He said, describe the temple to the house of Israel. I want them to know how wonderful this going to be. Describe it to them. It's already built. Already prefab. They ain't got to worry about nothing. It's already prefab. I just want you to describe it to them. That they may be ashamed of their iniquities. And let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangements, its exits, its entrances, its entire design, and all of its ordinances, all of its forms, and all of its laws. Write it down in their sight, so that they may keep its whole design, all of its ordinances, and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. The dimensions of the altar. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The cubit is one cubit and a handbreadth from the tip of your middle finger to the end of your elbow is a cubit. The base cubit high, one cubit wide, with a rim around the edge of one span. This is the height of the altar, from the base on the ground to the lower level, two cubits. The width of the ledge, one cubit. From the smallest ledge to the larger ledge, four cubits. And the width of the ledge, one cubit. The altar hearth is 4 cubits high with 4 horns. The horns represent power extending upward from the hearth. The altar's hearth is 12 cubits long, 12 cubits wide, square at the four corners. The ledge, 14 cubits long and 14 cubits wide on its four sides, with a rim of 0.5 cubit around its base, 1 cubit around its steps faced toward the east. Consecrating the altar. And he said to me, who is me? Ezekiel. Thus said the Elohim Yah, these are the ordinances for the altar on the day when it is made. For sacrifices, burnt offerings on it, for sprinkling blood on it, you shall give a young bull for sin offering to the priest, the Levites, who are the seed of Zadok, who approach me to minister me, says the Elohim Yah. You shall take some of the blood and put it on the four horns of the altar, on the four corners of the ledge, on the rim around it. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it, for the altar. Then you shall take the bull of sin offering and burn it in the appointed place in the temple, outside the sanctuary, on the second day, consecrating the altar. You shall offer a kid, a goat, of the goats without blemish for a sin offering. And they shall cleanse the altar as they cleansed it with the bull's blood. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall offer a young bull without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. When you offer them before the Elohim, the priest shall throw salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Elohim every day, consecrating that altar every day for 7 days. You shall prepare a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock, both without blemish. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it for 7 days, and so consecrate it. When these days are over, it shall be on the 8th day thereafter that the priest shall offer you burnt offering. They got to clean the offer. They got to consecrate the offer. There's rules and procedures. There's ordinance. You can't do, you can't go, you can't pull the cart before the wagon. And some of us don't seem to understand that. You have to consecrate that altar. Then after, on the 8th day, then you can start doing what the Most High requires you on that altar. Not what you require. And on that, and it says, 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar. You're doing this for the altar. And purify it. And so to consecrate it. So when these days are over, it shall be on the 8th day and thereafter that the priest shall offer your, you Israel, your burnt offerings and your peace offering on the altar, and I will accept you. Says the Elohim Yah. First you got to get the situation. You got to prepare the framework. See, that's what some of wrong with some of us now. Some of us, man, I don't know what to say about some of us. We just want to do everything just scatter, man. Any way we want. Not realizing that things have procedures, ordinances, and should be governed as such. That's why we are a hot mess, universally speaking. We want to do everything any old tacky, old messy old way. And think the Most High is supposed to accept it. See, here's the problem. You're not giving out instructions. You're taking them. You want me to repeat that? Here's the problem. You're not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not giving out instructions. You're supposed to take them and do them. See, we make everything hard. That's why our lives are hard, because we're still stiff-necked and stubborn. We still want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, on these fake altars y'all got. Did y'all consecrate them fake altars? No, I don't think you did. Was it like what I just read? No, I don't think it. What is? And y'all think that the Most High, the God of Abraham, gonna take that? What's wrong with y'all? Let me say what Ema Hadora says. Huh? What's wrong with y'all? See, that's why it's pertinent that you must do study, 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 and on top of that, some more study, which was what we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. That being said, listeners, we will take up our studies again tomorrow. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you by his reading and by his will, not yours, not mine. And let me play this lovely song, then I will bring my friend and my brother on from New York City, Cartrell, then my lovely Ema Hadora from St. Louis, Missouri. I'll bring you on, too, if you got something to say that's constructive and apart, and you know what you're talking about. But don't come on here talking no heebie-jeebie and no nonsense. Don't come on here talking about what you think. Because what you think, it don't matter, because it doesn't mean anything. Oh, it's true. Enjoy this song. I'll be right back. Thank you. Get you some Kool-Aid, jungle juice. No, don't drink the Kool-Aid. don't drink the Kool-Aid. And that's why I don't put other leaders over me, although they put leaders over this country, which I have nothing to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do. I ain't got no part in that. But I don't subscribe to putting any leader over me that the Most High hadn't anointed and put over me. So if some of my brothers and sisters want to argue over Joe Biden or Donald Trump, or who's the best like Batman and Robin, be at it. But don't expect me to be a part of it, because I don't like lying people. I don't care if they're from the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It makes me no never mind. I'm not subscribing to either one of them because I'm not subscribing to having these people put over me as my leader. And some of us, as I said, are sort of like the Walking Dead Negroes, clamoring, hey, Joe Biden, he better, he love her. Joe Biden, he Obama guy. And no, you stupid. Donald Trump, done more for us than all the folks in the world. See, I hate you, go Donald Trump, my ass. So, I'm good with that. I don't need Robert. I don't need Trump. What I do need that's going to work for me is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the king that he appoints over me. And perhaps, if the Most High willing, I will have an opportunity to be one of his elders, his counselors. That's what I'm looking for. Enjoy this song. I'll be right back. Thank you.
I will go to the consequence of love. Whatever come would may, you see, the game for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love. No matter what they say, you see, the game for me is you. I begin to hate time and distance, 'cause it makes me wait. It's all I seem to do. I will go to the consequence of love. Whatever come would may, you see, the gain for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love. No matter what they say, you see, the gain for me is you. Begin to hate time and distance, 'cause it makes me wait, and it's all I seem to do. I'll anticipate with all my patience, 'cause it makes me wait, coming home. The consequence of love, whatever come would may, you see, the gain for me is you. I will fight for the right to be your love, no matter what they say, you see, the gain for me is you. The gain for me is you. The game for me is you. The game for me is love.
All right. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yamsuf Arif. Without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One, Yeshua, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahshua Fari, may the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Thank you very much, my brother. Shalom.
Batman and Robin, huh?
Yeah. Hey, that's how we play it now. Same, we ain't changed. We look cheered. Joe Biden, he better do the job. You don't know what you're talking, you stupid. Donald Trump did all the stuff for us. That's how we talk, just like that.
At least we had the Black Panther, and we did have some Black Panthers. And it was real.
Yeah, we had the Black Panther, but they weren't crazy about the Black Panther. They like Superman and Batman.
But yeah, man, our people, we're headed in the wrong direction. We think that these Gentiles got our best interests, our welfare, and our concern at heart. Man, we're sadly mistaken. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we're getting shot down in the streets just for jogging or talking to each other on the streets.
You see what I'm saying?
We still got hope in America.
Yeah. Come on, man. Stop it.
But it's just like Malcolm X said. You got house Negroes, you got field Negroes. I think we got more house Negroes today than we got field Negroes.
Truth be told.
They want the house to live. No, we need our freedom. We need our inheritance. And the Most High, he's showing us that this is our future as a nation. That this temple, I believe, is already built. And in this chapter, we see the only thing he says is going to be built is the altar. And when we built that altar, when this temple comes, we're going to bring up our offerings so that Yah will accept us. We think that what we do now is acceptable to Yah, but not quite. We got to go through a process for Yah to accept us. And it's a very interesting chapter because, again, in my mind, this temple is already built. We've taken Ezekiel on a tour in the different chambers and the different places. And the fact that it says the glory of the Most High came down into the temple. And Ezekiel was in there when it happened. That's amazing in itself. It says in the fifth verse, then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And the glory of Yah filled the temple. Now, if we have any remembrance of our history, when we built the tabernacle, and it was finished. The glory of Yah filled the tabernacle, and not even Moses or Aaron was able to stay in the tabernacle. They had to leave when the glory of Yah appeared in the tabernacle. And that's in Exodus 40:35. Let me read that real quick. Exodus 40. Bear with me 1 second, family.
What I tell y'all, listen, I told you slow.
Verse 5, Exodus 40. And thou shalt set the altar of gold. 40:35. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yah filled the tabernacle. So that's the same thing that Ezekiel has experienced. But even Moses, when the Most High came down into the tabernacle, wasn't able to stay in there. He said Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle, to the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yah filled the tabernacle. And then in the book of Chronicles, when King Solomon finished building the first temple, the same exact thing happened. So 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, if y'all with me. In the book of Chronicles, chapter 7, in the first verse it says, now when Solomon, King Solomon, had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Yah filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of Yah because the glory of Yah had filled the house. So we see in both instances, when the house of Yah was finished, whether it was the tabernacle or the first temple, his glory came down and everybody had to leave. Now we hear in the book of Ezekiel, and he's in the futuristic temple, which I think is already built. All we got to do is build the altar. It says, the glory of Yah, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. and the glory of Yah fill the temple. So he's still in there while Yah's glory is in there, which makes him exceptional. And the same angel, while the man was standing beside me, I heard one, someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne." So he's inside the temple, and you already got service of Yah in there. And they definitely are not Levites. These are the Melochim. And he's telling Ezekiel, who apparently didn't see this angel, that this is Yah's throne and the place for the sole of his feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. So he got a glimpse. He's in the future. He's seeing the temple. He's experienced the Most High and his messengers. He says, "The people of Israel will never again defile my holy name, neither they nor their king, by their prostitution and their funeral offering for their king at their death." I'm sorry. So the Most High saying that this temple is perfect. In the 10th verse, it says, "Son of man, describe the temple to the people of Israel," which means it's already built, and he's just describing it, "that they may be ashamed." We should be ashamed. Why should we be ashamed? Because we got these little camps and congregations and temple, and we think that's adequate for the Most High. So he says, no, describe the temple and its procedures, its law, and what's required. He said that they may be ashamed of their sins. Let them consider its perfection. Let us consider its perfection. That means we got to go back and look at what Ezekiel was describing in regards to this perfect temple. That they are ashamed of all that they have done, known to them the design of the temple, its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its whole design, and its regulation and laws. Write these down before them so that they may be faithful to its design and follow all its regulations. So there used to be a record, I know, when we was growing up. I know you remember Yom Suf. It was called The Creator Has a Master Plan. You remember that song? Yom Suf, you there? I guess the album.
Yeah, I'm here. I had my mic off. Yeah, I remember the song.
Yeah, so the Creator got a master plan, and he's laying it out. And we give thanks and praise that he gave wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to these prophets to write it down. They wrote it down, and he preserved it so that we can read it now. And this is his plan. And we got to succumb and submit ourselves to his plan, because he says it's going to be restored. And we have to build the altar. He said these are the measurements of the altar, so somebody should be writing this down. In long cubits, that cubits being a cubit and a handbreadth, its gutter is a cubit deep and a cubit wide with the rim of one span around the edge. And this is the height of the altar from the gutter on the ground to the lower ledges that go around the altar. It is 2 cubits, and its ledge is a cubit wide. I'm going to jump down to 18 where it says, "Then he said to me, Son of man, this is what Sovereign Yah said. These will be," he didn't say that about the temple, he said just about the altar, "these will be the regulations for sacrificing burnt offerings and the splashing of blood against the altar when it is built." When it is built. He didn't say that about the temple. He's saying this about the altar. And the fact that we have to build the altar and bring up these sacrifices blow the whole concept of Christianity away. They say the sacrifice that their Messiah or their Christ made on the cross did away with all the sacrifices. And then when you look at it, him dying on the cross is not a sacrifice because it's not on the altar. As a matter of fact, it's an abomination because he hung there 3 days. And you're supposed to take that man when he dies down the day that he dies. So when you offer to the Most High, you have to offer it from an altar. And these are specifications for the altar. And in making these offerings, it makes atonement for us. He said, "For 7 days, you are to provide a male goat daily for a sin offering. You are also to provide a young bull and a ram out from the flock, both without defect. For 7 days, they are to make atonement," which means cleansing of the sin, the Most High forgiving us and blotting out our transgressions, "to make atonement for the altar and cleanse it." Thus, they will dedicate it. At the end of these days, from the eighth day on, the priests are to present your burnt offerings and your fellowship offerings on the altar. Then I will accept you. So what we're doing now, it's not acceptable. And until we get to this point, nothing we do is acceptable to Yah until we get to this point. So we might as well take whatever doctrine, whatever practices, whatever rituals and ceremonies we've been going through and thinking that it's really acceptable to Yah as per his order, then we're way off, which makes us humble ourselves and consider, like you said, be ashamed when you hear how the temple is supposed to be.
All right, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Truth be told. Well, let us bring on lovely Imahadora to put in her two cents. Imahadora, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is on.
Shalom, Ima. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, shalom, my brothers, and may the Most High bless you as well. Hallelujah. Giving all praise to the Most High, especially in the reading of His Word. But more so, I pray and ask y'all to give us understanding of His Word as we go. You know, I'm sorry I can't contribute much because I don't. What chapter are we in?
43.
Okay, we was okay. I'm on the right chapter.
Yeah, you're the right chapter.
Yeah. Okay. My book just reads a little bit differently. That's all. But it's imperative. You guys have covered it so beautifully, as always. But it's imperative that we understand Yah is precise in everything. He leaves nothing for our imagination. He don't act for our input. As we're going through this, look at the measurements. Can we see how precise Yah is?
Yes, every day the sun comes up and every day the sun goes down.
Yes, how it's supposed to be presented, by whom it's supposed to be presented, how they're supposed to be dressed. Yeah, and reminding Israel all along, this is what you did, so don't do this no more. Okay?
Right.
And we still don't get it. We want to do all the things that Yah told us that we deserve for our land, where Yah gets His glory. That's why He says, when we were in the land, once we were taken into the land, what did the Almighty say? There is one place out of all the land that I'm giving you, out of all your tribes, there's one place where I shall choose to place my name. Is that right?
That's right.
So whatever, y'all can't just do whatever you want to do in the rest of the land where I gave you. You can't do what I'm giving you to do in any of those places, but only in the place where I choose to place my name. That's when we were in the land. Now we see that this future temple that y'all speaking about, it goes right back to the precise instructions once again, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
What we need to ask ourselves is, can we take any of those instructions that Yah's given here and carry it forth in the lands of our captivity where we are today? If we can't do that in where we are today, what are we doing? And who are we doing it for? Surely we're not doing it for Yah. In Psalms 137, the Almighty says, as it is written, where did Yah choose to place this thing? It's in Jerusalem. Is that right?
That's correct.
And Psalms 137 reads in this wise: by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We ain't weeping today for Zion.
We are.
Everything over here. How much this is our land. Okay. But the word says, when we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they were there, they that carried us away captive, required of us her song. And they that wasted us required of us mercy. Sing us one of those old songs of Zion, boy. And we sung. We sung. Today, we used to sing about the songs of Zion. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Sweet low, sweet chariot. Oh, let us cross the river of Jordan. We sung those songs. But now, we don't sing those songs anymore. We sing the songs about the Gospels. Huh? How shall we sing your songs in a strange land? Do we ask ourselves that? This says, here, how can we even sing a song of Yah in a strange land? But we're going to carry out the Shabbos of these days and everything else in this land, this defiled land. If I forget you, O Yerushalayim, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, Jerusalem, why are we trying to make all these lands over here be what Yah have reserved for his, where he chose to place his name? It also bears witness with Psalms 122. And I like to read that. And I'm going to tie it all back into what we're reading today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Yahuwah. Our feet shall stand within thy gate. Where? O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of Yah, and to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of Yah. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love you. Peace within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of God, our God, I will seek your good. We should be seeking for the peace and the resurrection of Jerusalem, the restoration of her. So that Yah, this beautiful temple that Yah is speaking of in Ezekiel, he's not speaking where it's going to be built in the lands of our captivity, is he? He's speaking about it being built again where he chose to place his name. And why do you know that? Because the word says he chose Jerusalem that his name may reside there forever. Is that right? 1 Kings 9, chapter the 3rd verse. That my name shall be there forever. So, when we're over here talking about we're setting up temples and we're setting up lands and oceans and we're doing all of this, where is God getting the praise? That's not what God told us to do. And we're reading here where the Almighty is giving precise instructions once again how the temple is supposed to be built, the measurements of it, what's supposed to go inside of it, how the priests are supposed to be dressed, how they're supposed to sanctify themselves even before they can begin and the altar, even before they can begin to offer the sacrifices. And if we can remember the instructions that our power gave us, don't add to his word, nor take away from it. But also, as it is spoken of in the book of Yahshua, don't turn to the left nor to the right of the order that Yah has presented. So in spite of doing what we think it's right to do, when you align it up with the word of our God and you align it up with the instructions that he gave, precise instructions, you see, we're totally out of order. Completely out of order. And again, let us understand that God don't accept us on our terms. We have to go before our God according to his terms. Because at the end of the day, what you say, what you believe, or your interpretation or philosophical views don't amount to a hill. And how do you know that? Because none of it, our philosophical views, our intellectual dogma, our beliefs, our religious thoughts, none of us has delivered our people. Which also bears witness with the word in Lamentations 2:14, your prophets for you have seen for you false burdens and things that do not profit you, but they have yet to discover your iniquity to turn away your captivity. So if your leaders are not teaching you and telling you, Israel, to humble yourself, to gather yourself, and let you go before your God as one to tell him we're sorry, you need to shake him, because everything else is hogwash. The Almighty gave us precise terms of how he will receive us once again. And we can't do what we want to do and think this is supposed to be acceptable. Well, Ray, you love to tell the story about what is Korah, how they wanted to do things their way, and what happened to them. So when we go and we see that every time Israel wanted to do things their way, Yah was not with them, they failed. The ground opened up and swallowed them. Okay. Oh, when they went to offer strange fire before Yah, they got in trouble. We offering everything defiled before Yah, talking about, oh, well, see, we blessed it. Who gave you the authority to bless anything in your defiled state? And don't get it twisted, Israel, as it is stated in the word of Isaiah. Even in all of our righteousness, we still appear before Yah as a minister cloth. Because he have yet to sprinkle clean water upon us, cleansing us from all of our filthiness. So in our filthy state, how can we offer anything sacred before our God? The only thing we can offer is a humble heart, humility, and repentance. As the word says, tear your heart, rend your heart, not your garment, rend your heart. And if we go through, as we go into this temple, the portion of the new temple to Ezekiel, you see, Yah hasn't changed. He hasn't changed at all as far as his requirement of what it takes to please him. Would you agree with that, Molo? Young Su, Brother Young Su?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I'll end with, we got to get stuff out the way, Israel. Go to this word. Go and meditate on the word of Yah. Get to know him. Form your relationship with your Creator. And then you will know. You would come to loathe yourselves for when you think back how we have walked contrary to our Elohim. We walked in pride and vanity and arrogance. But when you truly get to know Yah, that spirit will humble you and let you know that you are the clay. You are the creation. He, Yah, is the potter. He is the creator. And I want to say one other thing too. I just had a conversation before. That's why I was linking to the program, because I had a conversation with an elder, and she wanted to know about the UNY. And I was explaining to her that the UNY is the governmental structure that Yah has called forth. Yah is not going to crack the sky and come down like they say Jesus did. Yah works through his people. We are his spokesmen down here. That's why he always spoke through the prophets. And today, we are his mouthpiece here. And the UNY is just the servants whom Yah has brought forth to put that governmental structure together. He's laying this thing brick by brick so that when we come up out of here, our structure's in place just like our temple and everything else will be in place. But when we hear UNY, our minds are automatically relegated to organizations because that's what we are accustomed to. But what I find interesting is we understand nation when it pertains to everybody else but ourselves. We understand nation when it comes to the United States, and that's not a nation. That's a corporation. We understand nation when it comes to China, Nigeria, Uganda, the UK. We understand that, but when it comes to the nation of Israel, suddenly we're a religion or a belief. So when I started speaking to her from that aspect, and she wanted to be an elder, she said that she would be happy to come on and listen, and she would be interested in becoming an elder because she's out of Alaska. But when I began to explain nation to her, she sent me a text real quick when she got off the telephone. I thought about it. I declined from that. I don't want to be no elder. But we want to run to Africa, the Nice, or to wherever else, so we can get away from the COVID virus. Huh? Did the Almighty tell us to run to Africa?
No.
Did he tell us to run to Benin or go to these other places? Or did he say he would gather us and return us back to the home of our fathers?
He ain't booked me. Have he booked you, Cottrell? You got a booking? I ain't got no booking.
Well, I'll say that. We in the four corners of the earth, so we everywhere.
Well, that's
so it don't matter where we are.
Too.
It doesn't matter where we are.
We're scattered in every nation. Well, what she was saying is, and those were my words to her, Moray, that Israel is scattered everywhere. We're all over the world, so there's some place to run to. You cannot escape the judgment that Yah's going to bring upon this whole earth down here. But and even though we're scattered everywhere, she said, well, if that's the case, then the whole world is our land. I said, that's not the word of Yah. Yah know we've been scattered. His words, I will gather you from all the places from where I have scattered you. Is that right?
I will send them home
from the east, from the north, from the west. Send my sons and my daughters from afar. He speaks about returning us back to the land of our fathers. So
that's
the
why,
land, he never said right. The whole earth is our land.
That's why study, and more study is important. And that's why we don't lean to our own understanding. And that's what got her in trouble with that thinking.
And that's the thinking of many of our people, young sir. They think America is our land because it was found Hebrew relics that was found here before the Europeans came. But I said, that's still great misnomer, no great mystery. The 10 tribes had disappeared long before the southern tribes were taken captive. So why did they migrate to?
Exactly.
So they're everywhere, you see. But we make this thing harder than what it is. We just don't think, but more so, as you've said so eloquently, we don't know the word of our God. We don't know our God.
Truth be told.
We know religion, but we don't know Yah.
Truth be told, Eva.
So I just want to say, Israel, your gathering is going to, we, God Almighty gave us an assignment to gather ourselves together. Old nation, not desire. So that we can begin to prepare ourselves so when the Almighty say it's time to get up out of Dodge, we'll be ready. You see, we can't go back home with that foolishness that we left with. You know, I ain't going to put up with it this time around. And
no.
This temple that is spoken of in the 43rd chapter, as it will be the next couple of chapters coming up. You will see, it won't be no unrighteousness there. It won't be going back to church like we're doing over here. God gave precise instruction, and that's what we will abide by.
That's what Cartrell and I are talking about. Some of these folks, they want to do church. They don't want to do the Mosaic. They want to do church.
We had, in closing, we had a conversation yesterday. We went through every aspect of the Shabbat and the feast days. Why is it that Israel gets confused? And where the confusion comes in is in Genesis. When Yah said he rested on the seventh day. It didn't say anything about man resting on the seventh day. It doesn't say anything about he told man from that point to rest on the seventh day. It doesn't mention man at all. But everybody want to run back to Genesis. Well, you see, it said we're supposed to rest on the seventh day. No, y'all say he rested on the seventh day. And he said that he gained his Shabbat. The Shabbat is Yah's rest. He give it to whom he chooses to, when he chooses to give it. It's not ours to give. It's not ours to take. Yah gave it, and Yah took it back when he cast us out of our land. And I just want to read that real quickly so we don't misunderstand it. In Ezekiel, again, Yah is clear. His word is precise. He doesn't leave anything for our imagination. In Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, everybody said he gave us the Shabbat when in Genesis. But let's see what Yah says. In Ezekiel 20 and 10, I'm going to start with 10. Wherefore, I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Shabbat. When did he give them the Shabbat? When he brought them up out of Egypt. He didn't give them to them in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference. We get confused again. The Almighty says, I despise, whether you go to Amos, whether you go to Isaiah, whether you go to Hosea, I despise your Shabbat. It's our Shabbat that got us kicked out the land. Because we didn't do what Yah told us to do. We wanted to do what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not our Shabbat to lock these days. It's going to get us back to this beautiful temple that y'all speaking about. And in Ezekiel 43, it's our humbleness, our humility, and a repentant and contrite spirit that's going to take us back home. And I just want to say, I love you, brothers. I love Yah. I love you, Israel. I want us to stop suffering. I want us to stop being the target for any crazy fool out there. They say, hey, it's okay, just shoot them down.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to stop being the cold conspirators in our own demise, our own genocide. Let us humble ourselves, repent, return back to our God, tell him we're sorry, and let's get ready so we can go home. All praise to the Most High. May his name be forever exalted. And may all of Israel shout and say hallelujah, praising his name forevermore. Thank you, my brother, for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Imam Ador. Imam Ador, don't go anywhere. Brother Maury Cottrell, if you don't have a special Psalms, could we ask Imam Ador to find us a special Psalms to close us out with?
No problem, Aki. Go right ahead, Imam.
Imam, find us a song that your heart is in touch with and read it for us and get ready to close us on out.
Okay. I'm going to read from Psalms 141. Hallelujah. Blessed be the reading of Yah. Yah, I crown to you. Make haste and let me start over. Yah, we cry unto you. Make haste unto us. Give ear unto our voice when we cry unto you. Let our prayer be set forth before you as incense, and the lifting of our hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Yah, before our mouth. Keep the doors of our lips. Incline not our heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let us not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite us. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove us. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break our head, for let our prayers also shall be in their calamity. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear our words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But our eyes are unto you, O Yah, our Elohim, and you is our trust. Leave not our soul destitute. Keep us from the snares which they have laid for us and the sins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own net while we escape. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Imam. Thank you very much, Imam. Any comments on what Imam just read or anything in particular you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Well, my focus right now is Ezekiel and his temple. I know a lot of people don't read these chapters, particularly these latter chapters, but they're very essential because they're there. And Yah told Ezekiel to write them so that we could hear it to show how far off course we really are. And as we continue to read in this book of Ezekiel, we see how disciplined you have to be in order to enter even to this temple. It ain't like the storefront temples or the churches we got now. You could just go in and out anytime you please. There's codes to this temple because the presence of Yah is there. You don't just roll up on Yah anytime you feel like it. As a matter of fact, on the Shabbat, it shows that we have to go up with our princes. You can't just go up as a family and just do you, which shows the unity of the nation. And the more we read this, it shows our unity and our intricacy as a nation. And here we dry bone, and Yah's truth continues to march on. So what we're witnessing is the dry bones beginning to wake up and come together. So it's not a pretty picture right now, but our hope is eternal. And we give thanks to the Almighty for his loving kindness and his tender mercy that he has towards us, because our enemies have done a great job on us, using psychological, physical, mental warfare on us to the degree that we are, like you say, walking dead Negroes. But we already had a trait in us, hard-headed, stiff-necked. Now we got amnesia and Stockholm Syndrome to boot.
Truth be told. Truth be told. Well, my brother and my sister, may the Most High bless you. Hey, he lied. He lied. Selective amnesia and Stockholm Syndrome kicked in with some Walking Dead Negro. Man, you got a hot mess on your hands.
I'm sorry.
Be quiet, Ema. Be quiet. You know I ain't lying. You know Contrell ain't lying.
Y'all got a way of putting this stuff
up. Hey, look here. We rub off on each other. You know, you rub off on us. We rub off on you. It is what it is. Because you know we ain't nothing but dust. You know when dust meet other dust, they get dusted together.
Stockholm. Amnesia.
Dust.
And Stockholm Syndrome. I don't know how y'all gonna do it. What do you say he gonna do it? So I had to trust in what he said.
That is truly a valley of dry bones.
Truth be told.
He said the bones are very dry. He didn't just say dry, he said
very dry. Hey, he put an emphasis on that, didn't he? A very good description. They very dry. They ain't just dry.
They ain't just bones, yeah.
They just dry to the bone. All right, listeners. You've been listening to Ema Adora of St. Louis, Missouri. Who can't stop laughing? Ema Adora of St. Louis, Missouri, and Contrell of New York City. You've been hearing the word of the Most High that you've never heard in the likes, and you've heard it. We don't cut anything. We're raw and uncut. We keep it real, because the Most High will keep it real with you. So we have to keep it real with you. We can't fake the funk. And sometime throughout our course and our fight together, we have this sense of humor and camaraderie, because you know what our ancient forefathers were, a man of humor, and we have that sense of humor too. Although, truth be told, some of the most serious things are said in humor. It's true. That being said, listeners, I want to thank again Ema Adora of St. Louis, Missouri, Contrell of New York City. I want to thank you, listeners, for listening in to the Real Talk. Not because we are some sort of religious leader, no, because we're putting to you raw and uncut. That's how you need it, because that's the only thing can help you raw and uncut. No chaser, just raw and uncut, and that's what you need. Listeners, we love you. May your steps be directed and ordered. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. And as you see, Ema Adora was talking about the sister, the elder. When Ema Adora brought it to her raw and uncut, she couldn't handle the truth. She said, no, because she wanted some fairy tale. She wanted some church-type service. We don't offer fairy tales, and we don't offer church-type service. We offer the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, raw and uncut. And some of you, unfortunately, can't handle the truth. We love you, though. May your steps be directed in order. May the Most High bless you, and we out of here. Shalom.
Mm-hmm. That's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have.
But God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Well, the strong, they get more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Whoa, money, you've got lots of friends crowding round your door, but ooh, when you're gone and spending ends, they don't come round no Rich relations give crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but ooh, don't you take too much. Well, now mama may have, and Papa, he may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. God bless the child that's got his own.